continue tonight on, we're on the home, but I began to start last week talking about financial freedom, but we're looking at it in a different way. We're looking at it in a different way than what most would think when you begin to talk about financial freedom. We're not getting into the money part of it, and we can, and I'm going to mention something later on tonight towards the end of it on that aspect, but we're looking from the scriptures about financial freedom. And take your Bibles, if you would, turn over with me to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. The book of Galatians, chapter number 6. And tonight, I'm going to look at another aspect of this. Last week, we looked at financial freedom, and one way to do that is become God's steward and understand that everything that we have belongs to God. And look at it that way. Look at every paycheck that we get and everything that we own as belonging to God. And we begin to take inventory and see what pleases God in our life and what doesn't. And so we need to become stewards of what God has given us. And I would say that most everybody could say that they've been blessed by God. You say, well, man, I'm broke and I can't do that. Go home and start taking inventory and tell me you're not blessed by God. We've been blessed. And so we need to begin to look at these things as they belong to God. Our children belong to God, our finances and all those things, but we're talking about financial things here. And what brought this subject up was us talking about potential problem areas in the home, and one of them is finances. It causes problems in the home. It's one of the things that people fight over and argue over and have problems. And so that's why we're talking about this. So last week was God being God's stewards. Tonight I want to talk for a few minutes on a couple different things and hopefully get through these. The second step, the first step is become God's steward. The second step is to accept God's direction in your life. Jonah ran from the call of God, and it ended up costing him. You say, what did it cost him? Of course, we saw it cost him his life for a couple days. Amen. But it cost him a ticket, a fare to get out of town. It was lost time from having the blessings of God on his life. I've seen people make rounds and rounds trying to run from what God called them to do, and it gets expensive doing that. Not just with the things that you have to pay, but not having God's hand of blessing in your life is expensive. I would much rather be in the center of his will and let him take care of everything than me be outside of it and have to deal with it. And so we're looking here in Galatians here in just a second, but this idea of us trying to figure out what we're going to do with our finances and with our money, we need the mindset that this is God's money, and we need to be patient and let him show us what to do with it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. Now, the context of Galatians chapter 6, verse number 6 is, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And then verse number 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The law of sowing and reaping is infallible. It never fails. It won't fail. Verse number 8, but he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You say, what are you trying to say? I think Paul's telling us, just keep doing what you know is right. Stop trying to figure everything out. Stop trying to panic and not know how we're going to get out of things. And just trust God. Just trust God. Continue to do what you know is right, and God will work everything out in his time. There's people that get weary in well-doing because they're trying to figure it all out. instead of just allowing God to direct them and give them some instructions and give them some guidance. They're trying to figure it all out themselves. The best thing to do is just keep doing right. Get up every day and do right. If you get up and you're trying to do things to figure out on your own or to please your flesh, as we read just here, sowing after the flesh, it is going to end up costing you way more than you want to pay. Everybody's heard the saying that sin takes you farther than you want to go and keeps you longer than you want. You got to pay more than you intended on paying, all those things. And that's absolutely true. And if you sow after the flesh, if you get up every day and say, how am I going to please my flesh today? It's going to end up costing you more than getting up every day saying, Lord, what do you have for me today? Father, where do you want this money to go today? And then wait on God. And then wait on His direction. It will be in a much better place if we learn to patiently wait on God's direction. Wait on His timetable. In His timetable and in reaping benefits from the Lord are way more than you'll ever reap on your own. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. You say, Brother Andrew, you're just making a bunch of, you know, factual statements that everybody knows. Well, let's try putting it into practice and see how it works. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 35 and verse number 36. Finances are at times a problem area in the home. And one of the reasons is we're looking at this study, is we're looking at our money all wrong. It's not our money, it's God's money. And we're gonna seek His direction on how we handle our finances, and things will turn out a whole lot better. Hebrews chapter 10, talking about being patient. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Having some patience and waiting on God to deliver and to take care of you. I can't tell you how many times, even in my life, there's been times, and I've counseled with couples before, that they get in a bad situation and they have a knee-jerk reaction to get out of it. Going down to the place where you can, the check cash places, to try to get out of a bind is not good advice. Right? Going down there trying to just get to Friday and I'm going to do, well, that ends up costing, it just knee-jerk reaction. And my first question, if somebody tells me they have to do that, is, well, what did God say about it? Did you talk to Him? No, I had to pay this bill. I didn't have time to talk to Him. No, you don't have time not to talk to Him. I mean, give God some time to work it out. Let Him show how great He can be. And it's not His fault you got in that situation, but you're one of His children. And I'm thankful that He has mercy and grace towards us. Look at Psalms chapter number 37. There's plenty of scripture to back up this truth that when it comes to this area of finance or anything in our life, we just need to wait on God. Wait on His direction. Find out what He wants. Well, the Lord hasn't given me an answer. Wait a little longer. Or maybe He didn't give you peace about it because He doesn't want you to do it. All right, Psalms chapter number 37, and look at verse number 23. Psalms chapter 37, verse number 23. Again, we're reading these verses and they apply to the Christian life, but we're talking about having patience, waiting on God's direction when it comes to finances. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Falling down, but what happens? The Lord held me up. I've made mistakes, but the Lord held me up. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. waiting on God's direction. If we decide to do it on our own, I'm telling you, we're going to get in trouble. And it's going to cause whatever financial problem you have to be worse. And it's going to be a snowball effect in the wrong direction of trying to make things right. But trusting God, having confidence in Him, and I know this isn't a typical financial message that you would think about, but we've got to get back to trusting God. We got to get back to thinking this is His money. This is His family. He gave me this job. And I'm going to trust Him that He's going to take care of my family. And if I fall down and make mistakes, I'm thankful that He'll pick you back up. Just do right. You make a mistake, ask God to forgive you, get up and do right. And move forward. And I believe that just about everybody in here can say they've seen God come through in ways that were unimaginable. David said, I have not seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. I don't like it when I see God's people begging for money online, out there asking it the whole world. Brother Charlie used to talk all the time about having yard sales out in front of the church. And all. I mean, you're just telling the world that God cannot take care of His people, advertising it to everybody. And there's people that do it all the time. I mean, they start, you know, I understand putting out a prayer request and saying, hey, you know, the missions project, got a call from a couple of priests, hey, we need to take up some money. It's God's people that come together. That's what they did in the Old Testament. He said, hey, we need to build this tabernacle to God. Moses said, this is what we need. Everybody went home, got it, and brought it back. It was God's people that began to bring all those things together. And I just believe and trust God that He can do it. If there's something He wants done, He will take care of it. And I'm thankful when He allows me to be a part of that. Because then in return, I get blessed for it. He gave me the money to do it. Then He blesses me for doing it, for obeying Him. So the first thing is we need to become God's stewards. Everything in our life belongs to Him, and we are going to be good stewards of what He's given us. Number two, we need to wait on His direction, accept His direction in our life. And number three, we need to seek God's purpose in everything that we do. Seek His purpose. All right? Look with me over in Luke chapter 16, verse 13. Seeking God's purpose in my life on this earth. What am I here for? Am I here to have the biggest house? Am I here to have the nicest boat? Am I here to have... I mean, if that's your purpose and that's what you're working towards, you're going to be in financial problem. Because as soon as you buy that car, another model's coming out next year. And as soon as you buy that house, something's going to start breaking down on it. I mean, if that's what you're... Now, this stuff's going to happen anyway. But if those things, if I get those things while I'm serving God, and serving God is my purpose, and pleasing Him's my purpose, then praise the Lord. God's not against you having things, but if that's what you're living for, it's going to cause financial heartache. Now, if you get things while you're serving God, praise the Lord. I keep going back to the children of Israel. The Bible said they had more than enough stuff and ended up sending some of it back home with them. They got to keep some of it. God asked us for 10% tithe. We need to look at it as, I'm thankful God gives us 90%. God takes care of us. I wonder sometimes what people's reason is for being on this earth. Is it a collection? Is it hoarding things? Boats, cars, lands, other possessions? And again, if we acquire things in the process of serving God's purpose, then that's fine. There's been times that I felt like God gave me something. I said, man, praise the Lord. Turned right around and said, oh, that's why He gave it to me. I got to give it away now. Amen. There was a testimony of that this week. and you find out that when you're serving God, He will allow you to have some things. But He doesn't want those things to ever have you. And the idea is, what is your purpose? If your purpose is to please God and to serve Him, then I'm telling you what, you're going to be in a much better situation. And the things that you acquire in doing that will be the things that God wants you to have. But if it's to keep up with the Joneses, we used to have Joneses in our church, so I had to change the name for a little while. But if it's to keep up with the family next door and to keep, if that's your purpose, you get home and look across the street and say, oh, now I got to update this because they did it. It's going to end up causing financial problems. Look at Luke chapter 16, verse 13. This warning that's given here in this parable. Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. Let me get over there myself. All right, Luke 16, 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. What is your purpose? Why do you get up every day and go to work? And why do you do the things that you do? Is it because I'm serving the Lord and my goal is to please Him and to serve Him? Or is it, I got to get more money, and I got to get this, and I got to have that? You can't have it both ways. You cannot serve two masters. And I promise you're a servant to somebody. Before you got saved, you belonged to the devil, right? You're of your father, the devil. The Bible tells us in times past, you walked according to the lust of the flesh. People today, they think they're little gods and they deserve all these things. We're not a little god. We're an animated dirt ball that's saved, if you're saved, that's saved by the grace of God. But we're trying to serve two masters. Whenever we are trying to acquire all these things, and this is why we live, to some people, church is just a, if nothing else is going on and I've got all these other things in life going on that I'm trying to achieve, it's going to cause financial heartache. But trying to please the Lord will be peaceful, and God will take care of your needs. He'll meet your needs. You can't serve two masters. Either going to hate the one and love the other, hold to the one, despise the other. That word mammon means riches. The Webster's dictionary definition is material wealth or possessions, especially having a debasing influence. Christians cannot serve their bank account and God. You serve God, and He'll make sure something's in the bank account to take care of you. Amen, sister. A Christian can't spend all his time chasing the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow and serve God at the same time. You can't do it. There's people that can't give to missions when God can't lay an amount on their heart to give to missions that they'd want to give because they're serving two masters. They have to hold the one and they're having to despise the other one because they can't do it. You cannot serve both things. The first thing a person quits most of the time when he has a love of money is church. You can't do both. Why? I got to work on Wednesday. I got to work on Sunday. I got to work during the revival. I got to work during this. Why? Because you can't serve both. And if you have all these other things and the debt and all those things, and I know people deal with that kind of stuff, but you only can serve one of them. You only can take care of one. Again, I'm thankful that God will help us out of those situations. He will. It's not all doom and gloom. But somewhere it has to stop and say, Lord, I want to serve you. Will you help me get back to that point? Look what David said over here in Psalms 84. Psalms 84. We'll look at two more verses. This is a subject that sometimes we'd rather just like hide it under a rug somewhere and just pretend like it's not there. Or doesn't, all these problems and these things, we just want to like pretend they don't even exist. But it's real, and it'll affect a marriage and a home. All right, Psalms chapter 84 and verse number 10 and 11. Look what David says here. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. Verse 11. the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Amen. David said, I would rather just be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to have all these things, than to live in the tent of wickedness. There's a choice that every Christian has to make, and it's trying to figure out what your purpose is. Some people, you ask them, I mean, they'll be older, say, what's your purpose? And they don't know the answer to it. Why do you do what you do? Why do you go to work every day? Why do you get up and do the things you do? Is it to just try to get by and pay the bills? Is it just to skim by? Or is it, no, I'm getting up every day because I want to please the Lord. And I have a purpose to please him. And then everything else that falls in line under that is either a result of pleasing God or it helps you to serve him. David indicated that being content with being a doorman at the house of God was good enough for him. That's good. If that's what I want, I trust God, and that's good enough for me. He'd rather be in the will of God, just opening the door of the church and letting folks in with a kind greeting, than being a man of great wealth in a wicked place. A man has to earn a living for his family, but he can't allow that to interfere with serving God. That has to be a result of serving God. It has to be a result of pleasing God. Last verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 8. This is something that would be really good for people to families to get a hold of. We're talking about God's purpose. Why are we here? And having food and raiment, 1 Timothy 6, 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith what? Content. Lord, you meet my needs, and that's good enough. Thank you. I don't have to keep up with anybody. I don't have to keep up with fads. I don't have to keep up with trends. I don't have to have the latest and great. And if that happens along the way, then thank you, Lord. I mean, he knows us. He knows what we like. We try to give our children and our spouses things that they like and they enjoy whenever we can. God does the same thing. He'll give you the desires of your heart. But what is our purpose? What is our focus? Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich, I mean, they're just dead set on that's their goal, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition and debt. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They that will be rich, it's going to cause problems. I'm sure that we could go home tonight and write foolish and hurtful on different things that we have. Like this was a bad idea. Why? Because I did something outside of the will of God. I was searching for something that was not a part of his purpose, because why, I had to have it, or whatever the reason might be. But the scriptures tell us here that these things are going to cause problems. And I've seen money take a lot of people right out of church. Take them right out of church. Go see them today, they're miserable. A lot of them in debt. I've heard stories of people that would buy houses in certain neighborhoods, gated communities, just so they could say that they lived at that address. But if you go to their house, there's no furniture in there. Sleeping on an air mattress on a floor. No furniture, no nothing. But man, they can tell people they live in that community. And it just, that's no way to live. I'd rather live, I've lived in the house we first moved in, man, Sarah and I first got married, I'm surprised she married me knowing we were going to be living there. But, man, God was just good. We had what we needed. The Lord blessed. He provided, and he's been good to us, and we live in a really nice place now, and I'm thankful for it. But being content with what God's given us. Lord, what do you want me to do? What would please you? All right, so next week we got family revival, but after that I want to continue on the subject a little bit. And I want to talk about next time some priorities when it comes to finances, some priorities in our life. And some things have to be established. The husband and wife have to sit down and agree and say, these are the priorities in our life when it comes to finances. And in preparation for that, and I don't want any of these back. I'm just giving this to you. Do whatever you want with it. If you want to go throw it away on the way out the door, that's fine. Some stuff I give out, it's laying in the pew when people leave or in the trash. I don't care, whatever you want to do with it. But this is just something extremely simple. And sometimes when you take it and you write it down, I know sometimes we do it on computers and all that stuff, but all that sometimes gets blurred. But taking down and this is a weekly budget, but you can take and write down a monthly budget if you want to and do it for a month or a week or biweekly and write down how much income comes in. And I have up here at the very top your tithe. We're gonna mention some of that in a couple weeks. Your income, how much the tithe is off of that, and then your total. And that total is what you have left to work with for the rest of the worksheet. And then go through and do this for the month, for the week, however you want to do it, and start writing stuff down and look at it on paper. And say, that is what's left. God, what do you want me to do with it? In some cases, it might be like, Lord, you're going to have to help make up the difference here because it's negative. But begin to look at it and say, God, I want to be a better steward. I want to do better in this area. It'll help our family. I could do more for you, whatever you want me to do. And Lord, would you help me? But it takes a step of not hiding that there's an issue and begin to look at it and have something to pray about. So I printed one for every family. I don't know if you need it. If you don't, throw it away. But there's one for every family. There's probably extra. And there are online resources for stuff like that. But this is just something simple. Just give one to everybody, whether they want it or not. Every family. Yep. Everybody's going to get one. That way, I don't want nobody raising hands saying, give me one of those. Everybody gets one. If you don't want it, throw it away. As a pastor, it's not my responsibility to tell you to leave. I'll get one for Levi. I'll print you one. It's not my job to micromanage anybody's home. That's between you and God. But as a pastor, it's my job to preach these things to the home, to try to help families, help the home. All right. Do what? The food apps on the phone. Hey, there's a miscellaneous category. You can put McDonald's app right there on it. All right. Well, I hope this is a help and a blessing. I don't want to discourage nobody. And I do want to say this, that I've seen God. He's helped Sarah and I. When we first got married, we started off with debt. Man, but I've seen God do some things. And there were times when we first got married that Faith Promise would come around and God said, this is how much I want you to give. And there was no way we could do it. But we wrote it down and trusted God. And I'm telling you, within weeks, we get a raise at work or get a check from the insurance company that we overpaid something. That never happens. But, I mean, God provided. Not only did he take care of our bills, he provided for the faith promise. And then when we gave the faith promise, he blessed us for doing it. I mean, I've seen him do it time and time and time again. And I'm going to talk about it later. When we talk about priorities, but I put the tithe up there at the top because that's not a part of all the bills. That right off the top, that's God's. You got the total amount that you brought in. Here's how much I'm paying God tithe. This is what I have left to work with. It's not I pay all the bills and then at the very end I'll see what's left to tithe. It's the wrong order, and you're not gonna go anywhere doing that. And I've seen, God's done it in my life, I've seen him doing it in others, where they give their way out of debt. Why? Lord, here's yours, I'm trusting you for the rest. And next thing you know, God provides. Where we mess up is where God provides, and we say, ooh, what else can I buy? Instead of saying, ooh, this needs to go to this bill, right? And amen. All right, let's all stand.